You and I both know that growth happens the most when we step outside of our comfort zone. The question is, how do we use whatever season we're in right now to pursue a thriving, purpose-filled life? Join us on a journey to tackle the scary, overcome fear, and help mission-minded mamas creatively grow with full hands and full hearts. We're your hosts, Danny.
And I'm Taylor.
And welcome to the Wild Happy Family Podcast. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Wild Happy Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny, and I'm excited to introduce you to our next guest, Kimberly Alston of Real Connection Ministry. Welcome here, Kimberly.
Thank you, Danny. I'm so excited to be here.
So before we dig into this, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kimberly. She is a wife and mother of three, online business owner, speaker, and author. She's worked with women and women's groups for over 20 years. She's had some different titles in her background, including entrepreneur, women's ministry coordinator, college staff member, and stay-at-home mom. As important as those titles were, they didn't compare to other unique titles she had to overcome, including a queen of quit, poster woman for hiding behind a smile, and depression sufferer. With lots of emotional work, self-care, and intentional living, she was able to overcome the negative roles in her life and let Jesus lead her to healing. Her favorite title now is Connection Maker. With Real Connection Ministry, she's passionate about helping women cultivate meaningful connections to Jesus, others, and themselves. Women do not need to feel alone, invisible, or living their life on the sidelines. With Real Connections, life to the fullest is possible. Welcome, Kimberly. We're so happy to have you and hear your message.
Yay. Thank you, Danny. So excited to be part of the Wild Family Podcast. Love it.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What brought you here to us today?
Yes. Well, my family and I live on the coast of South Carolina. And as you said, I'm an online business owner and a Christian woman seeking all things Jesus. And that led me to the Wild Happy Family, connecting online. And I'm so glad to be sharing this message of helping women to overcome feeling invisible.
Wow. So, I mean, this is something that was a topic in our Courageous Mama Summit, is that this feeling of alone, and I think it's really been augmented almost in this COVID, this pandemic, with like, we're not able to meet people. I don't know how it is for you, like church services, a lot of them are, we don't have like small groups or anything anymore. How have you seen, I don't know, I guess, what is the biggest danger that you've seen right now in feeling invisible and alone?
Yes, well, through this pandemic, it has been very easy for women to unfortunately feel that way, to feel invisible because we're not having our normal connections that we would have. And like you said, church services were canceled, everything has gone online, and the enemy is going to use that to his advantage because he wants us to feel alone. He wants us to feel isolated and invisible. And if we let him, he will take that foothold and run with it. Mm. So we have to make the effort to reach out to others and connect in any way that we can.
And I know that you're kind of the expert in this, so we're gonna find some of your top tips on how we can do this practically, because I know there are probably like some of you are listening right now thinking like, how can I do this? Like, I don't even know. So later on, Kimberly, I know you're gonna share some of those tips, which I'm looking forward to. But can you share with us personally about a time where you felt invisible?
Yes. And oh, I remember so well. We all have those times. But for me, it was especially difficult about 6 years ago when all three of my kids started at new schools. My two older kids were at a new elementary school and my youngest was at a new preschool. And I didn't know anyone. And it was frustrating because no one knew my name. I became known as so-and-so's mom. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yes, you don't even get called by your name, but by your child's name and being their mom. So it was very difficult during that time and feeling invisible. And I was upset that no one was reaching out to me. It was their fault, right? Mm. I wasn't supposed to reach out. No, they were supposed to reach out to the new mom. Right. And so I just fell into this victim mindset. And of course, like I said, Satan used it and he filled my head with lies. And I had already been struggling with depression. So it just made it worse. Believing these lies that no one likes me, no one sees me, I have no friends, I'm completely invisible. Mm. And it was a painful lesson to learn that my life had become all consuming with my husband and kids. Mm. Of course, they are to be a priority, but if we don't take time to make ourselves a priority with Jesus and others, then that's going to hurt us in the long run. So yes, it felt very invisible, but it does have a happy ending.
Yeah. Tell us about that. What was your journey in this? How did you come to that happy ending?
Yes. A long road. But during that time, the Lord led me to the story of Hagar in Genesis 16. And I remember reading her story for the first time, and the tears were just overflowing because I resonated so much with her pain, and I understood that rejection and loneliness that she had. And I'm here to tell your listeners that there is great hope and there is great inspiration from the story of Hagar. So Hagar was the maidservant of Sarah and Abraham in the Old Testament. And this was a culture divided by social class, similar to how we are today. And Hagar, according to the world, was a nobody. She was completely invisible. She was a woman, she was a foreigner, and she was a slave. So she was taken from her home in Egypt to serve with Sarah and Abraham in Canaan. So she had left her family, the home that she had known all her life, and now she's literally alone and feels invisible. Well, during this time, Sarah got tired of waiting on God, like we often do. Even though God had promised Sarah a child, Sarah didn't want to wait anymore. And she took control of the situation. She told Abraham to marry Hagar so that Hagar could have a child to give to Sarah. Now, in those times, Hagar had no right. She had no rights at all. Her body didn't even belong to her. So if Hagar had a child, Sarah could legally take that child and raise it as her own. That's hard for us to understand or imagine, isn't it? So Hagar became pregnant with Abraham's son, and things went from bad to worse for Hagar. Sarah resented Hagar. Hagar resented Sarah. And the Bible tells us that Sarah mistreated Hagar so bad that Hagar ran away. Now, imagine you're pregnant and you run away in a country you know nothing about, wanting to travel hundreds of miles to get back home in the desert. This was a death sentence. So Hagar was so full of pain, she didn't care. She just wanted to escape and run away. And so many of us as women, we choose that route, unfortunately. We want to escape and run away the problems and not deal with them. But here's the exciting part. While Hagar was in the desert, the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord found Hagar. It says that he found her. I love that. In order to find someone, you have to be looking, right? So the angel of the Lord found her. Now, when the Old Testament says the angel of the Lord, it refers to the incarnate Jesus in the spirit. So Jesus came down from heaven in spirit form in order to interact with Hagar. All right. Now, this is the first time in the Bible that Jesus as the spirit came down to earth to communicate with someone. He chose to come and speak to someone that the world considered a nobody. She was a woman, a foreigner, a slave. She had no rights. But that didn't matter to Jesus because Jesus saw her heart and she was a somebody to him.
Wow.
And what's really great is the first word out of Jesus's mouth. His first word was Hagar. He said her name. He knew her name. He knew who she was. He wanted her to understand how important she was to him. And in Genesis 16, it shows this wonderful conversation between them. They share an emotional intimacy that completely changes Hagar. She realizes that she has found freedom in the Lord and a new identity. She no longer feels invisible. And because of this transformation, she gives God a name. Elroi, and it means the God who sees. And the Bible says, Hagar told the Lord, I have now seen the one who sees me. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
She no longer felt invisible. And Hagar is the only person in the Bible to give God a name.
Wow.
All the other names God gave himself, but he lovingly allowed a woman who felt invisible to give him a name that we still use today, Elroi, the God who sees. And because of this interaction between Hagar and the Lord, she's changed, and the Lord tells her to go back to Sarah. Now, this would have been so hard for us to go back to the woman who mistreated you so bad. But Hagar is changed and she immediately obeys the Lord. And that obedience brings blessing because Hagar and Sarah then lived in peace for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I want your listeners to know that the story of Hagar is also their story. If they feel invisible and lonely and isolated, that the Lord does not want them there. He wants them to have connections and know for them to know that he sees them.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. And that while you were sharing that, I was thinking about that Hagar actually runs away a second time, right? And I was thinking, you know, it's funny because I think sometimes we go through things and we think, okay, we're done with that problem, right? I've already dealt with it. And sometimes these things come up again. And even in the second time, you know, she's still provided for, she's still seen, she's still taken care of. So yeah, it's just an interesting thought.
Yes. After the 13 years, Sarah's son Isaac was born, and that caused some tension between the two sons. And then Hagar did run away, but again, God was there.
Yeah.
And wow. He shared with her how treasured she was.
Wow. And so this, I'm just assuming, but you're probably looking back struggling in this, but How did you come to the word? Like, was it something that you're like, I know I have to go to my Bible. I'm feeling like I'm really struggling right now. Or was it, via a relationship that kind of directed you to find hope in the scriptures? Or like what brought you to come to the story where you were released out of this loneliness?
Well, being in God's word is so important, mm-hmm. and especially coming with no agenda. You come into the word, open the Bible, say, okay, Lord, guide me where you want me to be. And you can turn the pages and it seems like nothing's there. You know, Lord, I don't sense you. But you keep waiting and he will always put you on the pages that he wants you to see. And even though we may not be in the exact same circumstances as these Bible characters, we do have the same emotions and feelings that they did. And to draw inspiration for them and how God fought for them and wanted them to know what a treasure they were. So being in the word and letting him lead you.
That's really good. So you have a blog, and it's kind of like, it's like a blog ministry, your business. What led you to start this?
Well, coming out of that isolation and loneliness, I realized that you have to make the effort to make connections. And I never wanted women to feel like they were alone. And we feel so alone and feel like no one understands us, but God understands us and he wants us to find others to be connected with. So that's how Real Connection Ministry was born, is to have a community of women to share with each other, support each other, love each other, and be in community.
You have, I have a guide here that I'm looking at, and it's called The Roadmap to Real Connection. Why did you decide to create this?
I wanted to give women practical ideas and a low risk option that they could make the effort to create connections. I know that a lot of women, it's out of their comfort zone to go out there and make a new friend and put themselves out there, but it is definitely worth the risk. And so all of these ideas are creative and low risk, and some ways just to slowly start.
Not so start, scary.
Right. Not scary. Connections don't have to be scary to get out there.
And the really great thing is that Kimberly is giving everyone a copy of this guide. So wherever you see a link, click on that. It will direct you to this resource. Thank you so much for that, Kimberly. And I know that you have a few practical tips that you can share with us right now. What are, if for someone who is struggling or feeling alone and is not really sure, especially right now, how to find some real connections, what are your top three tips?
Yes. Well, my first tip is to let God heal your mindset of negativity. That's most important. Because as I know too well, if you stay in that negative mindset too long, it will affect every part of your life. So you want to heal that. You want the Holy Spirit to speak to you and work in you. And go and study Hagar. You know, read that conversation that she has with the Lord and draw inspiration from her story. So that's number one. Let God heal your mindset. Do not believe the enemy's lies. Don't believe that, because God wants us to have connections. He doesn't want us to be lonely and isolated. Number two is that we have to choose to have connections. We have to be proactive and take the first step. Like I said in the beginning, I was very upset because I wasn't known at my kids' new school and no one was reaching out. Well, I finally decided to get out of my pity party and make the effort to start talking to other moms and open the conversation. And I'm so thankful that I did, because one of those moms turned out to be one of my closest friends right now. And I would have lost out on that friendship had I not put the effort to get out there and be proactive. So we have to choose to connect. And when I say choose to connect outside of social media, make a real connection.
The thing about social media is just not like, you know, it's not in count. You know, there's something real about meeting with people. I just had a thought when you talked about, you know, choosing to have connections. Instead of like, I think often we think so much about ourselves when we're feeling bad and down and like pity party, like what you said. And I wonder if you could reframe that thinking, like, how can I love someone today? Or like, how can, you know, maybe she's feeling exactly like me. How can I like look at this woman and encounter her the way I would love to be encountered? And just kind of like, yeah, instead of thinking like, I have to do this, I have to like reach out, thinking like, how can I serve her? How can I love her today?
Yes, Dani, that is perfect, because we are all feeling the same way. We really are. Women are lonely. They want connections, but they don't want to be the first one to reach out. So yes, think of it as serving other women and make the first step. You'll be glad that you did.
You might get a best friend out of it, like you.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then my number three tip is to be honest and real with these people that you have a connection with. No one wants to be a friend to the person who always conveys that, oh, we got it all together, everything is okay. No, be real. We all have struggles. We all have challenges. You share that, open yourself up, you know, to be vulnerable and let your heart show.
Great. So before we're going to end with some rapid fire questions, but before we go to that, is there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, I am so hopeful that women will start making more real connections and realize that it's worth the effort and they are not alone. Other women want the same thing. Draw inspiration from Hagar and do not feel invisible, because God sees you. Elroy.
That's right. God sees you. That's so good. All right. Let's end with some rapid fire questions.
All right.
Kimberly, who do you admire the most?
I'd have to say my mom. Oh. She is my number one supporter, and we have a great relationship and love to connect with each other. And so she continually inspires me. Such a strong woman.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm assuming, but what book or books are you reading right now?
Right now, I am loving Emotional Spiritual Maturity by Peter Cesaro, I believe is how you say his last name. It has been life-changing for me to become more mature in my emotions, especially my spiritual emotions.
Cool. And what is your favorite place on earth?
Yes, so fun. This is not a hard question. It absolutely is Dollywood in Tennessee.
Dollywood.
Yes, have you ever been to Dollywood?
Oh. I'm assuming it's like Dolly Parton, maybe.
Yes, it's Dolly Parton's theme park, and that is my happy place. We go several times a year, and I love it there. I really love it there.
What is even there? Like, what do you do? I'm curious now. What is it? I'm not American. Well, so
it has been rated as the best food in a theme park. So it has amazing food, but it also has roller coasters, and it has incredible shows. I mean, it's Dolly Parton, right? So it's wonderful music and Broadway type shows and wonderful shops, and the people are great. And it's so comforting.
Really cool. Oh, well, thank you so much, Kimberly, for being here. It's been a pleasure. Make sure that everyone who's listening, grab your roadmap to Real Connection. The link is below. Just click on it and it will direct you right there. And your website, where can we find you?
Yes, come connect with me at www.realconnectionministry.com.
Perfect. And we'll have the link there for you as well. Thank you, Kimberly. I hope you have a wonderful day. And thank you, everyone, for your time, for listening to this. I hope you have been blessed. And remember, you are not alone. God sees you. All right. See you.